Hello, friends. I'm Pastor Pitts Evans. Welcome to the Whole Word Podcast. Let's get right to the Word of God. Friends, I haven't done any research on this, but I think the chapter I'm about to read was the inspiration for the song known as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. See if you can catch the wording and see if it brings it to your mind as well. Isaiah 63. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozra, with his garments stained crimson? Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all of my clothing. It was for me the day of vengeance. The year for me to redeem had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm achieved salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath, I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. I will tell you of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, "Surely they are my people, children who will be true to me." And so he became their Savior. In all of their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea? With the shepherd of his flock, where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them? Who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand? Who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in open country, they did not stumble. Like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people, to make for yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see, from your lofty throne, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your might? Your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us, or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Why, Lord, do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so that we do not revere you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your inheritance. For a little while, your people possessed your holy place, but now our enemies have trampled down your sanctuary. We are yours from of old, but you have not ruled over them. They have not been called by your name. This opens with a prophetic reminder that the day of the Lord will be a day of vengeance. The wording is extremely bloody and graphic, and it's reflected in various places in the scriptures concerning the day of the Lord. Verse 1, who is this coming from Edom, from Bozra, with his garments stained crimson? Verse 2 asks the question, why are your garments red, like those of one treading a winepress? And the person responds, I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all of my clothing. It was for me the day of vengeance. Well, sadly, friends, this is reflected in the New Testament, and it's clearly identified that the person who is treading out the winepress and stained with blood from vengeance is the Lord Jesus Christ, identified in Revelation 19:13. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And so the Word of God, of course, is another name for Jesus. He is the Word of God made flesh. The arm of the Lord will provide redemption. It is the year for me to redeem, Isaiah writes. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm achieved salvation for me. My own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath, I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. And so there is a day of vengeance coming, friends, and it is no joke. Isaiah then offers some psalm-like celebration and praise. He says, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all that the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their Savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. And so this angel of his presence, once again, we believe, refers to Jesus. The angel of his presence, in this case, the messenger of the Lord's presence, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's an interesting reference to the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, it says, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Okay, that's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. But then this seems unfamiliar, having to do with the person of the Holy Spirit. It says, so, after they rebelled against him, so he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Friends, we have, many of us have a false concept about the Holy Spirit. Our only mental image of the Holy Spirit is the frightened dove descending on John's shoulder. But he is the living God. He's a consuming fire. And so when he was grieved by the children of Israel, the Bible says here, he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. We don't want that to happen to us. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 4, we're told, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And so, friends, this is not for the protection of the Holy Spirit. It's for your protection and my protection. Hebrews also declares this same understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking says in verse 11, Hebrews 3:11, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And so this is after the Holy Spirit is tried once again by the children of Israel in the wilderness. We don't want to be grieving the Holy Spirit because we want him as our friend and not our enemy. Isaiah goes on and reflects on the fact that the Holy Spirit led Israel through the wilderness in the time of Moses. Verse 11, then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit on them? And then it continues, verse 14, like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. And so this interaction between God's Holy Spirit and Israel is in view. Isaiah then proclaims that God is still Israel's Father and Redeemer at that time and always. He says, this is how you guided your people, and you made for yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see, from your lofty throne, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and might? Your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. But you are our Father through Abraham. Even though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our Father and our Redeemer. From of old is your name. And so this group that is proclaiming to God, you are our Father. These are the spiritual descendants of Abraham, both Jew and Gentile, reminding the Lord that our redemption is still needed and our Redeemer is still on the throne and he will come. Isaiah closes this declaration with saying, we are yours from of old, but you have not ruled over them. They have not been called by your name. I believe this alludes to the Gentiles that were gathered to the commonwealth of Israel as the people of God. So as I close, I just want to pray about this idea of grieving the Holy Spirit. So Lord, first of all, please forgive us if we have grieved your Holy Spirit. Lord, please never turn and become our enemy. Help us, Lord, to be led by your Spirit, and help us, Lord, to be compliant and pliable as you attempt to lead us. Lord, we truly desire to follow you. Give us grace, Lord, to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Whole Word. It was brought to you by Whole Word Fellowship and the Northern Virginia House of Prayer. If you were encouraged, please share our podcast with your friends. We'd also appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app and take a few moments to write a review. If you'd like more information on our church and our ministry, you can go to wholeword.net or wholewordpodcast.com for more information. Thank you again, and may the Lord Jesus bless you today and always.